flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
11 o'clock hour, Cody and Gold hanging out with you on a Tuesday. Thanks as always for listening. We appreciate it. Appreciate the interaction as well on the Jays Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Don't forget, on Friday, we're going to be out at Rally House. A lot of you have always asked, like, hey, how come you're never up in this area of town when you guys do a remote or whatever? Well, new area of town. We haven't been up there in a little bit. Barry Road, the Rally House off on Barry Road. We'll be up there, Barry Woods Crossing, on Friday. We know it's playoff time here in Kansas City. That means it's time for you to get out to your local Rally House. Gear up to go back to back to back in the kingdom. Rally House is rushing in new gear for the playoffs, including official Chiefs postseason gear and the latest styles to cheer on your team. Shop 16 KC Metro locations and, of course, online at rallyhouse.com. So hope to see some of you up there. I know we'll have some gift cards to give away.
I don't remember the exact denominations, but
hey,
there will be Rally House, and you know that you need a new playoff shirt. Look, I've they're all available to you, but either way, you want Chiefs gear. This is how it works. Sometimes you want fresh gear for the playoffs. Maybe you spilled something on yours during the holiday break while you're just sitting around. 3 weeks, man. Do you know, for parents, it was a marathon, dude. We're not used to this. 3 straight weeks of trying to work and do that stuff, it's nuts.
Yeah, so come by, say hello to Rally House, on Friday. Looking forward to that. We'll continue to remind you about it. Reminder, in this hour, as a matter of fact, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, speaking live for the first time this week. It's game week, getting set for the Texans right here on 96.5 The Fan, 3:30 kickoff, but we're expected to hear from both of them around 11:40, 11:45.
Correct.
Right here on Cody and Gold. But there is something that I know nobody here wants to think about, but we just got done yesterday discussing, like, the playoffs and wild card weekend and, hey, are there upsets? Are there not upsets? And how competitive the games have or haven't been and everything like that. You consider what the Chiefs are trying to do. You consider the Chiefs are 7.5 point favorites, depending on which sports book you look at, and how this run has gone for the last 5 to 10 years. We were talking with Carrington actually off air yesterday, and he posed the question to us, and we're like, that's kind of interesting. Got us thinking. We'll ask you guys as well. In the last 5 to 10 years, where would an upset this weekend stack up if Houston pulled this off? And you're like, why are you even talking about it? Because I think it's an interesting conversation. That's why. I don't think it's going to happen.
It also just gives me an expectation of how disappointing of a loss this would be for Kansas City if they were able to let the Texans get past them.
I think plain and simple, Cody, because it is a three-peat year, a loss for the first time in the divisional round under Patrick Mahomes is at the top, it's at the top of the list in the last 10 years in the NFL, because we're talking about a team that has not lost in the divisional round since that dude's been their quarterback, and it's in a year in which you're going for a three-peat. It would be as devastating as you could have.
I think it would rank as one of the 10 best, or 10 biggest, not best, 10 biggest upsets, probably, in divisional round or AFC playoff, maybe NFL history. I understand that, like, the biggest one in NFL history is the Giants over the Patriots in a season in which they were almost undefeated. And still, you got to remember that the Giants were in a Super Bowl. So they were a good enough team to clear the entire NFC field before going to that game. But at that time, that team was undefeated, and Tyree had to slap a ball against the side of his helmet in order for them to get the win. It would be one of the worst losses in Chiefs history. And I know you're going to be like, how could that be true? For I was a Chiefs fan for years.
Oh, yeah.
And they suffered so many hideous games across the board in their franchise history. Now they do nothing but win. It's everything you said. This would be a team in Kansas City who has never lost in a divisional round under Patrick Mahomes. I've given this stat a million times because, like, we talk about stats all the time that are impressive. The idea that Patrick Mahomes' shortest season, and we talk about this, like, Joe Burrow's missed the playoffs, Herbert can't get past the first round. Patrick Mahomes' shortest season is overtime in the AFC title game. You need five damn quarters to put the man in the grave in the second to last game of the season. That's best case scenario, by the way. A lot of the other times you just lose to him and he wins the Super Bowl. So the fact that they are back-to-back Super Bowl champions, they're a more than touchdown favorite, they're at home, and they've never lost in this round. I would view this as one of the, it would, honestly, I would view it as certainly the worst playoff loss in the Andy Reid history, and I know that the Colts game exists, okay? I know that he once had like a 30-point lead on a team and blew it, and this would still rank worse than that for me.
I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
So, the reason why not that it's not a big upset, but in terms of it being this huge thing, I understand the three-peat, I understand the division round and all that stuff. But given how the year's gone, if it's another tight game and it comes down to a field goal and they make it, like, I know and I understand it would be jarring, but we've seen them in the position before where they get the block, they have the doink happens and all that other stuff. Not that it wouldn't be a surprise if they lost, but we've seen them throughout the year in instances where they could have easily lost one or two more of these games, where if they lost in a fashion that was similar to another game that was close, that they won maybe in the regular season, but they lost this one, I don't know if it would be a massive upset. It might be the most disappointing. It'd be very disappointing. If the game is, they almost lost to the Denver Broncos and needed a blocked field goal to have it
That's
happen.
That's a regular season game.
I know, but if it comes down to a field goal against Houston and they make a field goal to win it, I don't think you can say this is a stunning upset because of what we've seen throughout the regular season from this team.
I will say that part of it, though, is you're right against the regular season and some of the games that were close and all these things, but this is a 15-win Chiefs team.
Like, I understand.
Forget whatever we think about, like, some of the games are close. 15-win team, they're going to lose to a 10-win Texans team, and that is also what you're talking about. The regular season is actually factoring in for me. That last Texans game wasn't close. The Chiefs were the far superior team in that Texans matchup. They just played them like a month ago.
913-586-7965. Someone says, hey, you guys are forgetting about the Steve Bono Colts loss in 96. I think that's why it's more about the upset than even the devastating loss aspect. I hear you. But in the 90s, the Chiefs weren't winning titles, and the expectation wasn't winning titles. You know what I mean? Like, I understand, like, you hadn't been in the playoffs in X amount of years, or, hey, this was the year you thought it was going to happen, and so that was devastating. I'm just talking about from an upset perspective. The Chiefs, who are co-favorites to win the Super Bowl, a Chiefs team that has entered the last three seasons, I think it is, or at least two, as Super Bowl favorites, and they hoisted Lombardi in two of them, to then lose to a 10-win AFC South champ Texans team, who, as you said, you beat 3 weeks earlier. That would be a historical upset. Yeah, it would. I get what you're saying, Drew, and I think that
there's not going to be a single person in the entire NFL media that picks the Texans to win this.
Well, I agree with that, but that doesn't mean that it's one of the biggest upsets of the last decade.
So I think it does when we're talking about a team that has won 15 games and is going for a three-peat. They're not losing. In this hypothetical, they wouldn't be losing in the AFC title game to the Buffalo Bills, who have, or Lamar, who has an MVP candidate or the MVP or something. This is C.J. Stroud, who has not had a great season, had a great year ago, I get what you're saying. Like, hey, they had a lot of close games and they just happened to win them. So, like, what do we expect? But that's also what I would argue would make it even more of an upset, that when it mattered most, they didn't make the play in this hypothetical. That's to me why it would be a massive, massive impact. Mahomes hasn't lost in this round, as we said. And everything this franchise now is judged on is about rings and rings only. Yeah, there's no massive. You lose in the Super Bowl. Nobody's saying it's a massive upset. It's the Super Bowl.
No,
you divisional round last year. If they would have lost the Miami Dolphins, even
that
after,
would have been a bigger upset.
That would have been bigger than this one.
But it didn't happen. I don't disagree. But I know
it didn't happen. That's what we're saying. Nobody's saying this is going to happen. But if it did happen on Saturday, it would be one of, if not the biggest upset in the last 5 to 10 years in the NFL. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's everything you factor in. Now, I'd say the only thing that Drew's mentioning that catches in their favor is we all take Stroud seriously. So it's not like when Tannehill got to the AFC title game and pulled a big upset where you're like, Tannehill? Or when, like, if you look back and you're like, who are these quarter, like when Blake Bortles got to an AFC title game, like, how did you let yourself get upset by Blake Bortles? But the teams that he was upsetting at that time.
That was over 5 or 10 years ago.
I know. And those teams that he upset did not have the active pedigree of the Kansas City Chiefs. What I probably have to do is go back through the years for Tom Brady and the years that they didn't make an AFC title game and who managed to knock him off at that time. And if it wasn't somebody named Peyton Manning, that probably lands in a very similar grouping as this. And I don't know. I mean, didn't he play in like 10 straight or 9 straight AFC title games too? Like Tom Brady? Like, no offense, didn't he? I mean, like, it was like a similar number. So, I mean, you just don't hold them out of this game very often when they end up being this type of quarterback. It's kind of difficult to, like, I think it's just difficult to keep them out of the playoffs.
In 2019, as a wild card team, a 12-4 Patriots team lost a wild card round.
To who?
In 2019. Let me see if I can find out who. That was in 2019. And so that would be inside of a decade. It'd be past 5 years. But that could be it. I just got to see who they were playing and what that team ended up doing. 2019 wild card round. That was the Titans. Yeah, that was a Titans.
I mean, that's
year.
A pretty big upset. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. That's a pretty big upset.
I mean, you can go and look any of the wins that Blake Bortles had, honestly, getting
up
to the
AFC. But
again,
that was over 10 years ago.
Probably.
Has it been over 10 years?
Wasn't. Well, because I remember.
I have no idea.
The reason why I say that is because I remember Mike Welch had a Blake Bortles as the next Tom Brady take, didn't he? And Mike Welch hasn't been here in a very long time.
Do we still have that audio? That's one of the worst takes.
I think it got lost forever.
And I've had some bad takes. I once said Adalberto Mondesi was going to finish in the top five of the MVP race, but I mean,
I think
that's a pretty bad take. That's a bad take, but it's not.
When was Bortles? I would have to look exact year. It's not inside the five-year range. I know that.
For some reason, 2017. I don't know why that sounds like it rings a bell.
So just inside 10. So 8 years ago.
Okay. I didn't look it up though, so I don't know. But it just,
you might be right. Yeah.
But I don't know if it's a. I think it's the way that they've looked this season. I know they've looked a lot better over the last few weeks. Obviously. But I just wonder, everybody is against the Chiefs anyways in this, like, I don't think anybody's really going to pick the Texans, but I think everybody, if the Chiefs were to lose, the narrative throughout this entire season is this is not your traditional Chiefs team that we're used to seeing where they're lighting up everybody.
I know, but they won.
I know that, but the win total
still just makes it so, like, yeah, but I mean, they win. And like the teams that they win is like, that's why I wouldn't be stunned if they lost in an AFC title game or a Super Bowl.
It would be jarring. I don't think you can call it the biggest upset, one of the biggest upsets. Like it would be devastating because of the three-peat. It'd be devastating because they won all of those close games, it seemed like, this season. All of the ones that they needed a big play from, they made the big play. But so let's say something happens and maybe...
At home, man, a 15-win team losing in the middle of a dynasty... That before a championship weekend, that automatically puts it in a pretty special category. By the way, the Bortles year lost in the conference title game was 2017, so 8 years ago.
Okay,
so just inside of it.
Can't believe Bortles still floating around here. Maybe that's what'll make the random question one of these days. What's the worst take you've ever seen somebody have?
I mean, that's...
There's a couple that I'll never forget because they were so historically wrong. You genuinely can't ignore them. And that one is up there. Someone said Tim Tebow beat the Patriots.
What was that? Was that within the last decade?
Tebow? I mean, has he played in the last 10 years? The NFL moves.
It might have been 2015.
This goes back to a point Alex made to you when you were talking about the Cincinnati Bengals.
Tim Tebow's last season was 2012. So.
Because okay, it's been a bit. Okay. I was like, it seems like even longer. Like the Blake Bortles thing seems like it's only 7 years ago that Blake Bortles found his way into an AFC title game. And I'm supposed to still care that Cincinnati made an important game 3 years ago. Blake Bortles isn't even that much further back. I mean, damn. Like, at some point, about 3 years, that's what I give you. If you haven't done anything in 3 years, I don't want to hear about your accomplishments here recently and what you've been doing or that one time you got to something. If it's been 3 years in the NFL, the league's turned over 4 times. 2/3 of the league has a new coach. Half the league's got a new quarterback. I don't care. Well, I don't care what you did three years ago.
Look at yesterday, briefly in passing, we were talking about the difference in these meetings that the Chiefs have had over the Texans, Cody. And the 2019-2020 Texans-Chiefs matchup,
we
said the only players still kind of around in that matchup from the Texans,
Tunsil?
Three of them are, well, Tunsil, but then the rest, Justin Reed, DeAndre Hopkins, and one other former Texan is on the Chiefs now. There's another Texan. Yeah. Why am I? There's another Texan.
I couldn't remember who it was.
Who the hell was it? It's Justin Reed and DeAndre Hopkins, but there's another former Texan that's also
Charles
Omenihu. Thank you.
There it is.
Ironically, obviously, Tommy Townsend also on the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
But he was not the punter in 2019-2020.
No. He was he didn't.
He was at Florida, I believe.
Yeah, I was say he was in
I believe he was in college still, right?
I always liked Tommy Townsend.
Yeah, fun guy. We had fun talking to him at camp.
I hope he loses this Saturday, but I hope Houston treats him well.
I hope Houston is.
Hope there's a wider dating scene.
That's right. We did learn that. I think the
Tommy was running out of options in Kansas City. I can
say there's more people in Houston, so I would say the answer to that is yes. It's a little bit bigger city.
Tommy liked the apps.
Why does everybody make this think that this is like a Bengals fandom thing? I wouldn't even say the Bengals beating the Chiefs was the biggest upset. Who did the Ravens lose to that one year
upset?
Was it the Ravens that were 15-2 when Lamar had to go poop or whatever and they lost the game? Whatever that was.
I think that might be the biggest upset. I think people are giving you a hard time because some of what you said fits into nationally this idea of like they're 15-2, but they're really not that good. And I know not the wording you used, but that's your asking why. That's what people are hearing.
Also,
because
I pick the Chiefs about every single week this year. So
almost,
relax.
Yeah. Almost every week. I think the Browns was the one
that one was bad, and of course the Bengals weekend as well.
And, yeah, but no, I know you didn't. I think that's what people, to Cody's point, people hear.
That's because it's the narrative of I don't think anybody nationally is going to pick Houston to win.
Rex Ryan had some comment this morning already. I can't remember.
Really? Has he really?
Yeah. And
again?
He didn't flat out pick the Texans. He just said, he's like, yo, watch out. I think the Texans could have him here.
That might bode well for the Chiefs because he's been dead wrong about everything else.
Yes.
Rex Ryan hasn't been right in a decade on TV. Mm-hmm. He drew the short straw of like, hey, you're the least famous person. You got to give the worst take so we can all react.
Yeah. All right. We're way late for a break we've got... we had a good conversation there. We need to get to a break because we're going to have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes coming up around 11:40. We'll get to that. Plus, maybe sneak in a trash to the...
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no. I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Today, next. Coming up in about 15, 20 minutes, we're expected to hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Someone was wondering why we didn't do the Andy Reid, when will he speak game. Well, that's only on Mondays when they speak, because Wednesdays, usually they're on time for the most part. So we don't play the guess what time Andy
You're
will step
jinx.
Up.
You're a jinx!
Yeah.
Exactly. I was going to talk like 1:15 today.
That's right. That's right.
Do you see what you've done?
That's true. That's true.
And then the NFL takes over in the conference title week, so then they really have to be on time.
That's right. That's true.
We're much closer.
That is how that plays out, man.
NFL cracks the whip. Messing around. But yes, I don't think we're gonna play that game for the postseason run. You know, we gotta keep tradition alive here, Gold. You and I have been doing the show for 5 years, and the Chiefs have been playing in the Super Bowl for four of those 5 years. Let's make it, you know, 5 of 6 or 5 of 7, 5 of 8, whatever the hell it is. Like, they just never seem to miss since we genuinely started. We started in the
January of 2020. So we're going on year 6. We've had 5 years, and we're going on year 6 of doing the show.
And obviously the 2019 season, we weren't on, but like the second we came on board.
There you go.
Got ourselves to Miami. Things start happening, you know? We're good luck. For now. For now. People are worried because we're talking about losses and somehow we can be a jinx.
I wish I had,
jinxes aren't real.
Had power to do all that kind of stuff. Now, the only time it happened, I think, for real, was you had a certain hoodie that a certain kicker gave.
Well, that got burned.
And we made you burn it.
Well, in fairness,
since then, I want to point out, he's made game-winning kick in the AFC title game and Super Bowls. But if we didn't have you burn that hoodie, then it's true. I don't know what would have happened.
I guess I never actually got video evidence of it being burned. But somebody, as you remember, is the very first ever Coding Gold garage sale. Yep. I said I didn't want to let it go, and I said I would only let it go if someone was willing to pay $250 to charity to buy it from me. And someone paid it, and I cannot emphasize this enough, so fast. They paid for it. They paid $250 so fast to get that hoodie out of my hands. Took it, said they were going to burn it, and I never saw it again. That person's never messaged me about
that
again.
They clearly burned it, because since that happened, he's come up with, what, two or three postseason game-winning kicks?
It's crazy, man.
Crazy. Someone says, are you guys going if they make it? We are not. We are not.
Wow, you're breaking news?
We are not. Yeah, well, because we know by now. We don't need to.
We do know by now, yes.
We can peel back the curtain. We do know. No, we will not. So, just saying. That'll be on. We don't want to announce who is going. That's not our thing to say. But I will say, whoever is going, the pressure's on. The pressure's on, because this show's undefeated.
Yeah,
but
3-0.
I'll let that person and that show, whoever that is, make that announcement on their own, if that actually happens.
Can I ask at least a question of the audience now, since we're talking? 913-586-7965, or we're on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. What should Alex and I do for the game this year? Like, are you going to watch it at home?
If the Chiefs are in it,
do you
want to
go watch it at a bar?
No.
Like, what's the energy for us? It's been a little while since the Tampa Bay Super Bowl was in the middle of COVID. I watched that in my house.
Yeah, I'll watch it in the same place I watched for that one. It'll be.
I'm just trying to figure out what do we do. You know, what's the plan?
I'll be with family. Yeah, family's been doing Super Bowl parties for the last couple. They're worried that I'm going to be the jinx by showing up, because it's worked for them, the setup they have.
Oh, so they got their own routine, and they don't want you interrupting it.
Mm-hmm.
They think that they're the good luck, and that you could be bringing bad luck.
So we'll see. Hopefully, we have that. Tough. We have a real reason to have that conversation. TechSite already says that the show that's going spilled the beans this morning. So it's public knowledge that we can say,
great.
Yeah, the morning show's going if the Chiefs made it to the Super Bowl. So that is the scenario where the pressure we're going to give Dusty and Bob and them a very hard time, that there's a responsibility of bringing back a win when you go, because we're undefeated when we go.
Over on Twitch, someone said tailgate at the station parking lot from ZM Lopez. Well, you know, there's options. people give us some choices. So yeah, there's plenty of choices out there. Somebody just says, you know, you got to make your plans now. It's hard to get spots for, you know that? It's hard to get spots for like the Super Bowl. Bars are busy, especially cheese bars. I don't know what I'm going to do yet. Can I come to someone's house? What's the spread like?
Let's see what happens. I mean, either way, you're going to a Super Bowl party, whether the Chiefs are in it or not. So same thing applies.
Yeah, but like, I mean, traditionally that's not, I mean.
But you know, like, you know, this year, like no matter whether the Chiefs are in it or not, you know, you're watching it either at a bar or a family's house, a friend's house, yeah, or something like that.
My own house, whatever.
All right, thinking of just this run, someone that's been part of it for quite a few years has been Travis Kelce, and there'll be more and more storylines if they get further into the postseason about, hey, is this it for Travis and everything? But Kelce was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, and there's a couple things. Talk about just what we know this team has done, which is even when it seems like they maybe are floundering a little bit, they find ways to win football games.
Well, we're finding different ways to win and more ways to win early on and throughout the season. I think last year we dealt with finding ways to lose, and you know, you can learn from both, but learning from the games you win is a whole lot more fun. And I think we got a lot of confidence in this team, and a lot of guys that are willing to go that extra mile, man. And we've definitely heard all the chatter and guys like, you know, Rex Ryan saying that, you know, this team can't win in the playoffs and he's seen it before. And, you know, we hear everything, but at the same time, we know what's real and what's in this building. And that's guys that want to be accountable for the one next to them and are going to keep finding ways to be accountable week in, week out.
This year, I will say, whether we want to go specific, like blocking kicks in different ways to win, this team, out of all the years of the dynasty run so far, this year's team has found more outs to win, right? Like,
yes,
they have found more ways, sure, to win. That is,
they
absolutely
probably
a
should
fact.
Have been realistically like a 13 win team, which is as good as any other team in the league, by the way, 13-14.
But
and
I think,
won 15.
But I think that's powerful in the postseason. Not just what you've already won multiple rings, so you know you can do it. But in a year like this, where you found a way to win 15 games, and yeah, there was the block kick. There was some doinks, right? There was crucial drives that you had to have. That is such a powerful thing to have in your back pocket as an NFL team. That truly, like, it's not even a cliche with this team. Like, they believe whether they're down 7 with 30 seconds to go, or, you know, obviously down 3 with 13 seconds to go from years ago, or in this year's case, like, they know they can truly win until the clock hits zero. And every team says that, like, we know we've got it. They've shown that they can do it. Not just that they believe, they've actually,
sure,
done it.
I think that there's a part that's always kind of underrated when it comes to, because people always try to pretend like the human psyche part doesn't exist and it's just players versus players. There's at no point in an NFL football game in which you can feel comfortable against Kansas City. I don't care if you're up 10, down 10, tied, fourth quarter, first quarter, second quarter. You are constantly waiting with bated breath,
yeah,
to find out how they're going to get you. Like, it doesn't, and like, you start feeling like they're going to get you. Like, when Drew's saying, hey, all these games are close and they found out these ways to win late in games, the other team is also thinking that. Drew's not the only person thinking that. They're lining up for a field goal, or they're lining up to go for fourth and one, and they're like, oh, man, this team is a stupid team. Always just like, they can feel it the same as you can feel it. Years and years and years of buildup, too, you know? You got to consider it when it comes to that, too, which is just like, they've been watching this same story be told forever. And the Texans probably are the worst of it. Last time they faced Kansas City in the playoffs, they were up 24 points and trailed by half, which is honestly genuinely impressive.
Yeah, will D'Amico Ryans, will he try a fake punt in the game? Just for flashbacks, I hope there's a fake punt in the game on Saturday. And it's Justin Reed that makes the tackle this time. Oh, it'd be great. I love when stuff like that happens. It was Dan Sorensen tackling.
Yeah,
it was Dan Sorensen tackling Justin Reed on the fake punt that really turned the tide in the game.
And
I want it to be Justin Reed tackling whoever it's going to be for the Texans, then they try a fake punt on Saturday.
Or him getting the fake punt against the Texans,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
Like, they run the fake punt, but it's with Justin Reed, and he just, like, righting a wrong that felt like it existed in only his brain.
And then you had Pat McAfee asking Travis Kelce just about, hey, his age, like, how are you feeling with that layoff?
Dude, I'm fired up, man. I'm feeling 22 all over again, baby. Let's go.
Hell yeah.
Fire me up.
I don't know about you. I'm feeling 22. Hey, she had us do this thing, Trav. She had us do this thing right here.
I was hoping you caught the reference, baby. Man, I'm ready to rock and roll, man. It's the biggest thing for me is trusting Coach Reed. He's been doing this a long, long time. And when it comes to getting the bye week, we've had a few of them over the course of my career. So the big for me, it's just making sure we put the pads on at least one time throughout the week. Make sure we get our physicality in and get that in check. Play with some low pad level throughout the week, and then on top of that, put your feet up, man. Watch some football and get ready for some playoff action.
I totally agree with not only what he said, but Mitch Holthus was on the Kingdom show last night, and I saw some quotes from that circulating a little bit. And he mentioned, like, hey, for this team to go on another run, it may, you know, would it have been possible without the bye week? And I think there's a real conversation if they complete the task. I don't know, man.
I think they needed the rest because of the week five bye and everything else, or week six, whatever it was. Yeah. Way too early in the season.
And 3 games in 11 days that they had and all that. Like, if they are to complete the task and get to a Super Bowl and three-peat and everything,
the bye is going to be part of it.
I think it'll be because the bye was possible. And with the amount of time off, with this team, I also, you notice you and I haven't talked a ton about the rest versus rust and all that kind of stuff. I don't think that is much of a factor for a team that has also played more games than any other team in the NFL over the last 5 years. And a lot of these guys, whether it's Travis Kelce, Mahomes, Chris Jones, they play more games than anybody else in the NFL because of their runs that they've gone on. So for a team like the time off is way worth what the potential quote unquote rust could be for a drive or something, if you even buy into that.
I think so much of it is we know that, like, so the whole thing we've talked about, that no team is three-peated in the Super Bowl era in the NFL. Well, we know the ways that it stops. Mm. Either the cap gets you, right? Like, you just can't afford the same players you used to be able to afford, and that becomes a challenge. But because Brett Veach has done such a good job in drafting over the last couple of years, they've been able to mitigate some of it. No, they've had to let some players go, like Tyreek Hill and others. They were too expensive. They were able to keep Chris Jones and Patrick Mahomes and some other players. They had to let some go because of that. We understand. But the other thing that typically, truthfully, gets you in a 3-peat run, you get hurt. You get hurt. And you can't overcome the injuries, and that's the thing that puts you down. So being, because you have to play a full extra ass season over the last, what? I mean, over the last 4 years, how many additional games, just 4 years, how many additional games have Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, Chris Jones, and those guys, anybody who's been here that long played? 15? I mean, it's not that many, but it's 10. It's at least 10. They've been in the AFC title game in every single one of those years. And so it adds up. Getting a break matters. It just matters. And so, like, for this team, yeah, I think it'll make a massive difference.
And for Kelce in particular.
I like that they're already looking for bulletin board stuff because they know they can't play the underdog. Really hard to be like, we're the underdog. What are you, the 2-time defending Super Bowl champions with 15 wins? That'd be like that time Julian Edelman. Remember, he like made a catch. He's like, no one believes in us. I'm like, you're the Patriots.
I will say, though, while the Chiefs would probably be favorites no matter who they face in the title game, if the Ravens go to Buffalo, so if the Chiefs beat the Texans, but if the Ravens go to Buffalo and beat them up and win, and the Ravens are slight favorites in that game, you're going to have a majority of people, whether it's just rooting for it to happen or like, oh man, Baltimore looks dominant. If the Chiefs just squeak by the Texans and the Ravens go to Buffalo, there will be people talking at everybody picking the Baltimore Ravens. And therefore, I think you will be able to play up a little bit of the underdog in that in that way.
I can't believe Buffalo gets to play that this week. This would be the home first dogs. Time, if it holds, and it might not because it's 1 point. Mm-hmm. If it holds, this will be the first time in Buffalo Bills history that they were a point underdog, any kind of underdog, statistically, in a home playoff game.
Right.
Because you don't usually make Buffalo an underdog at home. Not Buffalo. Not even in their history where they don't have the championships. They typically do that. I mean, so, like, I'd be kind of surprised that that would be the case. But, like, it could hold, and they could be underdogs to Baltimore. Kansas City will be a favorite to anybody in there, but there'll be plenty of people picking Buffalo or the Ravens. If the Chiefs, you know, get to the AFC title game, of course.
A lot of it is just, you know, perception of how teams look. You know, if the Chiefs win by double digits over Houston, then it's almost a certainty to me they'll be at least 2.5 points.
But if they win 13-10.
If they barely win and the Ravens look great. Yeah, the Ravens, I could see it being a pick 'em. I really could. We have got plenty of time to figure that one out, obviously. Up next, though, we're expected to hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan. Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
And our divisional round coverage is brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer partner of your Kansas City Chiefs. It is Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We're expecting any moment to hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes.
He'll surely tell us exactly who's starting at left tackle.
Yep.
In clear, plain, unmistakable language.
That's right. We also are expected to hear from Trent McDuffie, who could have teammate Jalen Watson back with him. We'll see this weekend. And Xavier Worthy, who, if there was ever a time that they're going to connect on a deep pass, and he's also figured out how to be way more than just that, as we all know.
Yeah.
We're long past that issue or question mark, I should say.
No, but like that unlocks him to a completely different level if they ever find that.
I'll still say, and Worthy's been much better in the regular season than MVS, obviously. But remember, in the postseason, all of a sudden they connected with MVS. So it would not stun me if all of a sudden Worthy and Mahomes connect on a 65-yard pass. You know, for the first time since week 2 or whatever it was.
It's just so funny that, like, there were all those near misses. Because if you just gave me the stat line, I would have taken it before the season. Mm-hmm. He had, like, 700 total yards and 9 total touchdowns. I would have taken that. I mean, I know some of that comes on the ground game, but that's also just how Andy utilizes these people. 742 scrimmage yards and 9 touchdowns. Gold, do you know how quickly you would have signed up for that before the season started?
Yeah, right away, man.
Immediately for Xavier Worthy. He is also, as you pointed out, playing at a completely different level since Buffalo. Like, that game on, he is a different wide receiver. And now his job should hypothetically be even easier because Hollywood Brown exists. And then next year, I'm really looking forward to the Rashee Rice Xavier Worthy combo and what that could look like. They had one more cheap free agent wide receiver.
Or bring back Hollywood Brown or bring back DeAndre Hopkins. Well, no, that's an offseason conversation. I think both are in play. Depends on what they do in the postseason, too, for their own sake, you know, and what the market is. If either one, D-Hop or Hollywood Brown, have a massive three-game stretch through a Super Bowl title, well, then their price and their market gets really, really interesting. I would be interested in bringing back Hollywood Brown. I understand Worthy can do some of the same things, but I'm also recognizing that I'm going to be without Rashee Rice, we all think, again, for the beginning of the season. But let's go out right now and hear from Andy Reid on 96.5 The Fan.
As his coordinators have, and they've got a ton of speed on that football team, and they're well coached, execute well. So that time's yours.
Coach, this has been, kind of a weird time for you guys to have had this much time off from some of these games. How have you kind of handled that? And what do you feel when you see the guys here, like their willingness to get out and work and all that?
Yeah, sure. They've got good attitude, players. They were in last week and did a nice job with that. And even on the days off, a lot of them came in. So, but want to make sure we gave them a little time for recovery. But they're excited to go. They know they're playing a good football team. So they're excited.
What do you remember about that divisional round game against the Texans back in 2019 and being down 24-0, and what was kind of going through your mind at that point?
Yeah, we didn't start off very well, that's for sure. And they were playing well. I was proud of our guys for kind of regathering together, and coaches and players, and trusting each other enough to come back. And we were able to do that, but first half wasn't very good.
Coach, from the AFC, the ultimate destination is New Orleans, and of course that's where the Chiefs won their first Super Bowl, and Hank Stram had the navy blue blazer at that time. How much, when you broke out the navy blue blazer at the Super Bowl last year, how much do those traditional things mean to you?
Yeah, I've got to give credit to Brett Veach on that. He set it up. We've worn it a couple times. Wore the red one, too. Didn't have a lot of success with that one. But, I love the history of the game. Obviously, there was a ton of history here. So I love that part of it. Kind of grew up, I was a big Mike Garrett fan. So I followed the Chiefs. And, those were special years, for sure.
Andy, given just your love of the history of the game, is there any part of you that allows yourself the appreciation of what you're trying to accomplish this postseason?
Yeah, you don't ever go there. You know, I mean, you're kind of tunneled in here, just trying to find another play that possibly works, or another, you know, defensive play that works, or special teams guys are doing that part, and it's a weird dynamic that way. You don't ever look at that stuff. You're just ingrained in trying to make sure you get communicated and see enough tape, but communicate with the players and teach them and so on. Yeah.
Were you purposeful with the players in that way too, to ensure that they had that mindset, whether it was back in OTAs or whenever it might have been?
Yeah, I haven't heard him say much about it. So I'm sure if I would have heard something that I felt like they were looking ahead or whatever, I'd remind them. But there hasn't been any need to do that. They've been pretty focused in all year. I mean, they know how I roll. I mean, they're around me all the time, so I don't ever go there.
Yeah. Coach, we know that Jalen Watson did a good job getting himself ahead of schedule. What's your optimism level for his potential return?
Yeah, I kind of want to see this week, see how he does. But what I've seen so far, it's been good. He's in good shape, and I'm not telling you he can play a whole game, but he sure, you know, I think he has a chance of playing. Yeah, we'll see.
What catches your eye most about Texans defense, especially how they contain Herbert?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that jumps out at you is speed. That front can run. We didn't have a chance to play against Zero last year, our last time we played him a couple weeks back, and he's fast also as a linebacker, and he's kind of their main play caller there. So, but he can the speed of the D line, the linebackers just jump out at you, and they're real good. The hands of the secondary, those guys, they catch the ball. You don't see a lot of bobbles or drops or that. They, if you're presenting it close, they can go up and snag it.
Coach, I know that you preach all the time cleaning things up and all that. You guys have done a great job of cleaning turnovers and all that stuff up. I know there's different things you can do to hopefully have that continue, but sometimes on things like that, is it just a little bit of luck, ball bouncing your way or not bouncing your way, or is it something you feel like you really can control a certain amount of?
Yeah, there's some of it you can. I mean, obviously, the ball's not round, right? So that thing bounces a little crazy sometimes. So those, you kind of go, all right, that happened. But some of these things you can focus on, keeping the ball high and tight, not letting it get off your body. The throws, the routes that you call for the throws. Those are all things that you have some control over.
Blair?
Andy, just what's the thought on left tackle and DJ or Joe?
Yeah, I'm going to see how it goes. This week, I'm going to rotate him, and so it gives us some flexibility there. But I was happy with what Joe and Mike did in there, but I also liked what DJ did in, some of those snaps that he had, and there weren't a lot of them, but the snaps that he had against Denver.
When you say rotate, you mean rotate at practice, right?
Yeah, in practice, yeah. Then we'll just see. We'll see how it goes.
Coach, Patrick has a new addition to his family. You watched him from number one to now number three. As a father yourself, do you feel like it's gotten easier for him to be able to manage it all?
Yeah, I think he does great with it. He came in as Patrick 2 p.m. Now he's right, Patrick 3 p.m. So he's got, once you have three, four and five are easy. That's what I told him. So that was, well, you've made three. You add a couple more, we'll talk.
don't know if Britt would agree.
Yeah, true.
Andy, we're talking to Xavier in a little bit. Just with all rookies in general, just wonder the process of knowing that they're going to struggle at times over the course of the season, but allowing them to play through that.
So what was the first part of the...
We're talking to Xavier in a little bit. I just wondered what the process... Obviously, he had a stretch during the season where I'm sure it wasn't as good as what he wanted to be, but just allowing him to play through that.
Yeah. Yeah, so you could see the talent. He's a smart kid. You could see the talent. You know, it was a matter of time. You saw that with Rasheed the year before. We've seen it with a bunch of receivers over time. So as long as they're willing to work.
You're listening to Andy Reid here on 96.5 The Fan, KFNC, FM, AM, HD1, HD2, Kansas City, and Odyssey Station.
And they'll work through it. They've got to see it. Get kind of those main defenses down and the reads and the routes and all that. So he's done a nice job with all that.
Okay, thank you, Coach.
Okay.
All right, so that was Andy Reid. We're going to hear from Patrick Mahomes, Trent McDuffie, and Xavier Worthy in just a little bit. As expected, the left tackle question came, and it was, I like what they're all doing, and we'll see. And
I love all my kids equally.
So no news on the left tackle spot, all right? It's what we thought. We're going to have to wait until much later this week to find out, if we have to wait till game day even, to find out.
Probably in warm-ups who's lining up at left tackle. I think that's when you'll know. Saturday warm-ups, Nate Taylor will send out some tweet that'll be like, DJ Humphries is lining up at left tackle, or Joe Tooney is lining up at left tackle, and that'll be the case.
The good news, all 53, everybody on the 53 practicing. So
that's why you take the 3 weeks off, man.
Jalen Watson and all this. I think Andy kind of did give us a glimpse on what they're going to do with Watson. He's not going to get 100% of the snaps or that he would normally. I took it as, hey, he's playing Saturday, Jalen Watson, that is.
How much?
But maybe it's 30%, 40% of the snaps or something like that.
I think it'll probably be 40 or 50 based on what Nate Taylor told us on Monday and what you just expect from a player coming back from that type of injury. But being available, being able to use him in key spots, use him on third downs, use him in the red zone, use them in places where you need some of that reduction. That helps.
Who's your guess on who was typing as loud as possible during the press conference?
I don't know, man. Someone's typing fervently.
Text line picked up on that very quickly. They're like, who's typing? I'm like, I don't know. I'm not sure. It wasn't us.
Man, I just assumed that was like the sound when like someone was writing War and Peace. Fervently pressing the keys. I'm not even sure that's loud enough.
Things correctly.
They got to do it like this.
Jeez, now Cody's turned... Yeah, it was very loud. I don't know. Very, very loud.
I'm going to guess that, you know, I'm trying to think about someone. Like, I know enough of them personally. They're like, who's the person who maybe types that way?
All right, McDowell. Let's hear for Patrick Mahomes.
Pittsburgh game today. Did you do anything out of the ordinary to stay sharp during this time?
Nothing that I would not normally do, I guess would be the best way to say it. I just kind of continue to work as far as working in the building, working at practice like I usually do. Obviously, the reps are a little bit different, but at the same time, you can get mental reps and you can get physical reps on the side. And so continue to work with those guys that weren't playing in that last Denver game and then preparing your body to go out there and execute in the playoffs.
I know it was an unusual game you guys had against the Broncos, the people out there and all that stuff. Is there any fear at all that just kind of the down part of that would hang over, or is that an easy one to flush for their organization?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it didn't go the way we wanted to. I mean, we wanted to win the game and obviously didn't do that. And so we've had some time now that you kind of come back and you get ready to play. I mean, this is the playoffs now. This is where you want to be at, and you're going up against a great football team, and it's going to take your best effort to win it.
It seems like in the final stretch of the season, you were getting rid of the ball quickly. How much of that was an emphasis, and how much do you want to carry that maybe potentially into the playoffs?
Yeah, I think just going up against great defenses, you got to get the ball out of your hand and let guys make plays. And we have a lot of talented guys that can make plays after the catch. And so get the ball out of my hand, let the guys make a positive play, and then move on to the next one. I mean, that's what you do in the playoffs.
What did you see from the Texans in that win against the Chargers?
Yeah, I think what everybody's kind of known, I mean, that defense is extremely real. They have a great quarterback and a great coach. And we knew when we played in this last time, it was a hard-fought game. And they get after the quarterback really well. They have really good secondary players, and the linebackers fly around. So it'll be a great challenge for us, and we'll have to play our best football.
You guys play the Texans, obviously, in the first game on your first Super Bowl run. What do you remember just about that day other than you got down?
Yeah, no, it was, I mean, just a big momentum swing, I think, for us. I mean, obviously, it was the second time I'd played in the playoffs, and getting down like that, things could have went south really fast, but I was proud of the resilience of the guys, and that kind of carried us throughout that entire playoff run, is that we just had no doubts that we were going to find a way to win, and that was a really good football team, and we were able to come back and beat that team, and it kind of sprung us through that the rest of the playoffs to get that Super Bowl win.
Are there ways that you noticed that the energy during that game, or being able to shift a game like that, is kind of carried you even through future pro seasons, or that you can draw on that sort of experience?
Yeah, I think just being down that many points and being able to come back and win, it tells you that the game's not over. You just got to take it one play at a time, and so that's kind of put us in situations in my career where we've been down points and we've been able to kind of bounce back and not try to make it all happen with one play. Just go one play at a time, do what you're supposed to do, and then let the game kind of come to us.
On the topic of Xavier, just how challenging is the initial playoff game for a rookie, and then what makes him, in your mind, ready for that?
Yeah, I think just the steady progression he's made all year long. I mean, obviously adrenaline's going to be flowing, and you're going to be, a little nervous or whatever that is, but once you get on the football field, you just play, and I think that's something that he's done great this entire season. He's played in a lot of big games, and he's done a lot of productive things, and I expect him to do the same things as we get to the playoffs.
Obviously, things are going well here, and I know you're trying to go 1-0. You're not trying to three-peat. You are, but not today, right? Do you think at all ever, like, what this run means 20 years down the road for this city? I mean, you know, like, you grew up in not right in the Metroplex, but, like, what those 90s teams did mean to Dallas and all that, what the Pittsburgh teams mean to Pittsburgh, what you guys have done in this last little run here?
Yeah, I think it's an exciting time in the city. I think just with all the different teams and how they're performing, and obviously this has been a fun run that we've had with the Chiefs, but I think every year is special. So, I mean, obviously you want to win three in a row, but building those memories with the guys and with the community every single year is special. And when I look back at all the different Super Bowls that we've won, I look back at special moments that we've had and special games that we've had. And so we'll try to do that the same this year. I mean, it's been a fun run up to this point, but we want to get to that ultimate goal. But we know it's going to be challenging, so we have to just really focus in on the day and how we can get better and try to win the game and win the practice so that we're prepared for the game.
Well, congratulations, and what have the last couple of days been like for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's been cool. I mean, I'm just supporting. You know, Brittany crushed it. It's been cool to welcome another baby girl in our family and see how my other kids react to her and having baby Sissy and stuff like that. So it's been a lot of fun, and it was cool that football was on TV when I was in the hospital, so I got to watch a little bit. And so Brittany was kind enough to let us watch football as she was getting ready to give birth to our second daughter.
With being your third time around, you feel like it's become easier for you to manage, you know, football and family life?
I mean, I don't even want to say that, because, like, it's Brittany's doing everything, so I'm just trying to be supportive. So, no, it was cool that we got the bye, just because you can kind of really focus in on just being at the hospital, being in the moment, and it's a special moment that I know a lot of dads and moms have experienced, and you don't forget about that stuff. So I was glad I was able to be there and support in the best way I can.
I think you had told us that three was enough. The coach was just saying 4 and 5 are easier.
No, I mean, I'm good with three for right now, so we'll see down the line maybe, but my goal was always three, so we've had three, and we'll stick there for a while and see if we need to come back and get another one later on.
Patrick, last year Travis really, after he rested, played well throughout the postseason. Just as you've seen him throughout the years, what does playoff football mean to Travis?
You know, I think it's just the greats, man. They step up in the playoffs, and it's just higher intensity, and the best players and the best leaders step up and make the best plays, and he's done that, and so I expect the same from him going into this playoffs. And I think his mentality that he steps on the football field with at practice and on game day is kind of resonates with the entire team and gets everybody to play their best football, and that's what it takes in order to win championships.
Nagy was saying a couple weeks ago that he thought Travis, of all the guys who got to sit out the last game last year, mm-hmm. Travis was maybe the one who benefited the most. Did you see that with him, how he came back for the Miami game?
Yeah, I think that, and I think it meant a lot to the team that he put the team above himself in that moment. I mean, he obviously could have got 1,000 yards pretty quickly there, and all of us wanted him to get 1,000 yards. And he said, that's not my goal. My goal is to to win a Super Bowl, and I think guys took that and they ran with it. And then obviously he stepped up his play and made a lot of big time plays, and it worked out all for the best.
What did that mean to you?
I think I mean, I still wanted him to get it, to be honest with you, but I think it inspired the team, and I think he kind of has that the heart of a champion, and I think that inspires everybody. And so when your leaders and your Hall of Fame guys are doing that, I mean, I think everybody knows that they got to put it all on the line.
Patrick, you mentioned that Xavier, you saw a steady progression throughout the year. That Bills game, it seemed like to us that it was the game where he started playing at a faster level. Just wonder what sort of stuff, maybe out here in the practice field, did you see that kind of prompted that, if you agree that that was a kind of game?
Yeah, I think that was for sure. I think just he just let it go and just played. I think the offense started coming to him better, and he'd been open early in the year. I think for me, it's just the more and more reps we got, I started hitting him on some of those passes, and he's a smart kid. He works extremely hard, and usually when you do that and you're that talented, good things happen, and so you just stay with the process, and he's done that, and that's why he's gotten better and better as the years went on.
Going back to being a girl dad real quick, I know you've been a supporter of girls flag football, and there's a chance Missouri will make it a high school sport. Mm-hmm. This year. I mean, what would your thoughts be? What would that mean, you know, thinking about maybe Sterling and Golem getting to play someday down the road?
I'm all for it. You know, I didn't know that, but, I mean, that would be awesome. I mean, just to see the flag football and how it's kind of swept the entire nation, to get the girls and the women involved and let them go out there and dominate and have fun. I mean, it'll be really cool. And Sterling can throw a football, so I'm sure she'll be very interested if we can get it in Missouri.
Okay. Thanks, Patrick.
All right, so that was Patrick Mahomes here on Cody and Gold. We're expected to hear from Trent McDuffie and Xavier Worthy in a minute or two. Also, the part about Travis Kelce was what we were discussing earlier in the Chiefs Red Half Hour, which was it was very evident that last year, and Patrick Mahomes agreed, that Travis Kelce benefited the most last go-around. Who do you think benefits the most?
Travis Kelce.
Again, anybody, I would also say Chris Jones. Chris Jones, because he's dealing with an injury.
And he's been openly talking about it. He's like, dude, I'm tired. This is too damn long of a season, and he's a big man, so there's a limit to like how many snaps you can play. It's absolutely those two. But it was funny to hear Travis or Patrick say, no, I wanted him to get it. Like, I wanted him to get it. I wanted him to go for the yards.
All right, let's go back out there and hear from Chiefs starting corner, Trent McDuffie.
You just played him 4 weeks ago. How does that impact things? I mean, you've got fresh tape, but they could always... That also gives them a chance to throw some wrinkles at you, too, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. Kind of like you said, you know, being able to just retain the information. You know, we just played them, kind of know what they're about, know how they play, their play style and stuff. But it's the playoffs. So when you come in the playoffs, a team's going to give you their best. They're going to give you some new plays. Not just going to run the same mundane things they were playing. You know, last time we played them, it was the whole 3 games in 10 days. So I'm sure they had to simplify it a little bit. But, yeah, coming into this, I mean, we know they're going to give us their best shot. Especially, you know, we beat them last time, kind of coming with a chip on the shoulder, coming off a good win last week. So we definitely got to be ready for them.
Trent, naturally, I feel like you'll be up against Nico quite a bit. Just what kind of challenge does he offer?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of was saying this earlier. I love going against players like this who I call him a complete receiver. You know, he's big, he's physical, he's fast, good hands. His connection with CJ, you can tell, is at an all-time high. They're kind of clicking on all cylinders, and he's their number one receiver. And that's really why you want to play this game. Go against them.
All right, so that's Trent McDuffie. We'll get back out there in a second. And yeah, if Jalen Watson's there as well, then it makes you wonder what McDuffie and Nico Collins matchup could look like.
Ready to go compete.
What have you seen from Jalen as he kind of works his way back? And what would it mean if he could get back out there with you guys this week?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, Jalen's one of those guys in this DB room that has a lot of energy. You know, when you see him on the practice field, he's dancing, he's smiling. So great to get guys coming back from injury, whether it's been 2 weeks or 2 months. I think he's doing really well. You know, I think he's able to move around very well. You can tell that he's still retained the information. He's going out there, and it doesn't really look like he's coming off an injury. You know, I mean, he's still going to have to get his football shape back. But as far as just everything I've seen, he's looking really good, and I think he's done a great job at just his recovery and getting back right.
What does he bring maybe to that group? Everybody has their different strengths, weaknesses. What's you mentioned the energy, but is there anything else Jalen specifically brings to the field for you guys?
I mean, he's a vet. You know what I mean? He's one of those guys that has been in the system for 3 years, has played in all the big games, has made his plays, and he's someone that I know the coaches and everybody around here trust a lot out there. one of those guys that can come back in and have a physical advantage, you know, his length, his size, really good in man coverage, and someone that I think we've just been missing as far as just the DB room as DBs, you know what I mean? I love whenever we get guys to come back and they kind of been away from a little bit because they're able to see things we don't see. They're able to see how this defense looked on the outside, and someone to come in and bring their input to the game and say, you know what, let's go out there and win this game.
What's it like covering Xavier in practice now against maybe what it was during training camp?
Yeah, man, you can tell his confidence is up. You know what I mean? You give somebody a full year in this system, in the league, they're always going to get better. You know what I mean? His routes have become crisper. You can tell in the game plan they're kind of finding him a little more routes he can run instead of just going vertical, getting some more of the short game, getting a few jet sweeps kind of like McCoy used to get. And someone I've just been a fan of, just his play on the field, off the field, and someone I'm really excited just to see what he's going to do. I think he's a threat, he's a factor, and someone I know Pat really loves.
How can you tell he's more confident? What leads you to say that?
I mean, you just look at how he's out there on the field, where he's lining up within our offensive game plan, the amount of looks that Pat's giving him, the plays he's able to make, the catches he's able to make, and you can just tell that he's someone that wants to be that person. He wants to be the number one. He wants the ball. And when you have someone like that, I think that can be a real threat.
What does it mean to you now be acknowledged as a two-time All-Pro?
I mean, it's cool. You know what I mean? I'm not really someone to hang my head or kind of come to the season wanting all these personal goals. Anytime I get them, I always say I'm thankful, and everybody who got it, I think they definitely should have got it. But really, my goals and my focus is really more on the team and what we can do there. So, yeah, great that I got it, but moving forward.
You had two picks against CJ in that first game. The first one really stopped that drive. And in the playoffs, you're seeing turnovers between two good teams, and that decides it. Can you talk about the importance of that for you guys?
Huge, huge, especially as a defender and what the defense always talks about. Anytime you get a turnover is great. I think that getting the two turnovers last time we played them was huge. Not only for momentum, not only for energy, but, I mean, you talk about taking points off the board. That's huge. Giving the ball back to Pat Mahomes, knowing what our offense can do. And especially going into these playoffs, I think it becomes even more of a thing. Winning that turnover battle and making sure that you're taking as less risk and getting the best field advantage possible for our offense is what you want to do.
Last one, anyone? Thanks, Trent.
Okay, so that was Trent McDuffie here on 96.5 The Fan. I want to go back to what we were talking about before. Someone texted in as we didn't get to finish our conversation. Another player that I think benefits from the time off, as Mahomes was talking about that. Kareem Hunt, absolutely. I agree with the text there.
And Pacheco, honestly, who's not quite right.
There's more this
still
year, you could argue, than a year ago, the time off that benefits. You know, it's some of it is injury-related, some of it's the early bye. But Kelce, Jones, Kareem Hunt, Isaiah Pacheco are probably the first couple names that everybody would mention that are benefiting from having this extra week off. And now it's game week, but had the extra week off.
If anybody had missed it, Kareem Hunt was talking about that. And he said he was having a hard time getting off the couch late in the season because of the workload. He had put in the season coming in with no training camp, an entire off season of no regular football work. Obviously, I'm sure he works out on his own, but not the kind of work you would expect from an NFL training camp. The whole team benefits. I mean, they just do. It's why none of us in Kansas City, some other teams, I'd worry about it. Not in Kansas City am I worried about this team taking 3 weeks off to kick it. Like, they're the kind of team who can handle that. Can I also say that my favorite thing of all these press conferences so far was Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid talking about kids like their football things? And it's like, once you got three, man, four or five, just the same. And then Mahomes, when he was talking about his own kids, he was talking about it like they were going back into the draft for another corner. I mean, he was like, you know, we got three right now. I feel good with that number. Want to see where that gets us first. And then maybe if we have to later, we can come back and, you know, add another. Like, that was essentially the way he talked about it. It's incredible.
Yeah, it definitely sounded like it's training camp. At that point in time, the wide receiver room's pretty good. But look, if we gotta make a move before the start of the season, we'll do a kind of thing. I did pick up on that. That was pretty funny as well. But congratulations to the Mahomes family, obviously, on the birth of their second daughter happening on Sunday.
Are you brave enough that if and when, you know, you're sitting in a hospital room, you're waiting for little baby Gold to be born?
Okay.
Are you brave enough while your hypothetical wife in this case is in labor to put on playoff football?
It depends if that's what she wants or not. It's all about her in that moment.
Okay, so the correct answer.
It depends
answer
on what she wants.
That is the correct answer.
Let's go back out there and hear from Xavier Worthy.
I mean, what have you
heard or how have you gotten yourself ready for this first playoff game of your career?
Man, just training like every other game. You know, I got a lot of vets in the room, so they kind of just make it easy on me. Just take it week by week and treat it like a regular game.
Think you'll be more nervous for this one than a normal game?
Nah, I'll be all right.
Talking with Trent, he was very impressed with the way your route tree has kind of expanded. How have you felt like you've developed that as the year has gone on?
I feel like just understanding the game, more, being around guys that's been around and did it against a good corner. So getting it from them and understanding their knowledge how to do it just helped me evolve as a player.
Is there a veteran who helped you the most, and just how so?
D-Hop. You know, he's really route savvy, played in the league for a long time and understands it. Also, Hollywood Brown, a guy kind of similar to me, small in frame, so telling me how to run routes against guys, bigger guys, smaller guys, it helped a lot.
Specifically, what kind of advice did they have for you?
They just gave me, like, techniques. I can't really tell you the advice. It'll give away my tricks, but, yeah, they just gave me little techniques on how to beat certain coverages and stuff.
How about just confidence from week one to now?
I feel like I've always had the confidence. It just more of understanding the game. Football now in the NFL is kind of different from college. So understanding the game from college to now is a little different. So I feel like I'm kind of catching on a little more.
Anything else?
You played in the playoffs last year in college, the one game with Texas. Mm-hmm. Does this feel like that at all? How does this feel compared to that one?
I feel like this is a little more bigger than the college game. Yeah, I feel like it's just a little more bigger.
Patrick has noted that he felt like the Buffalo game was where you kind of broke through. Did you feel that way? And how did you see that in that game and then grow thereafter?
Yeah, I feel like just my understanding that weekend, the way I prepared, just kind of gave glimpses and showed, like, I understand the game and looking at little stuff, watching on film. I feel like my preparation that week was different. So I just took that week and just applied it every week and got better every week.
You mentioned Hollywood. Like, his first game back, I think, was the Texans game a month ago. What have you seen from him now that he's, you know, he got a couple games, but maybe had a couple weeks off? What have you seen from him in terms of his preparation? Is he getting a little sharper?
Right. He's been out, so just him getting back right and also playing that game and playing the Pittsburgh game, just getting reps under his belt. Obviously, the game of football is about getting reps and understanding having a feel. So I feel like he's been doing that, getting reps in practice and running full speed.
Anything else? Thanks, Xavier.
All right, that was Xavier Worthy speaking to the media here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5. The Fan, this is Cody Ingold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Cody and I smirked a little bit because he was asked about college football, Drew, and the college football playoffs compared to the NFL playoffs. You just heard from the NFL wide receiver.
Hold on a minute.
Didn't even need a rally tally.
And
he said, it feels like it's bigger. He said, it feels like it's bigger.
I have never said that the NFL, that the Super Bowl is bigger than the college football playoff. I said that college football is more entertaining this year than the NFL. Okay. That's all I've said.
Okay.
From day one.
Okay. Okay.
Shout out to Xavier, though. I knew as soon as I said it, I didn't even look up at you guys. I knew that you guys were. I was trying to hold it in. I was like, I know these guys are looking at me right now. I knew it.
No, he said it, not me. I didn't say anything, you know?
Cody and I both looked up at the same time and smirked a little
bit.
Honest
to God, part of my hang up between the two that I never understood, like, Drew, like, your argument, and people, you're not the only person to make this argument, right? That The college football has been more entertaining than the NFL in any given year. Some people just like college football better than the NFL.
Yeah, Drew said he's a bigger college football guy to begin with.
That impacts things,
One of the things that I can't get past is it is worse football. Like, they're worse at it.
Oh, the teams are
people
100%.
Block worse. They can't run. They're slower. Like, agreed. It's the same with, like, college basketball versus the NBA. I like skill. I like the ability to do it at the highest conceivable level. I watch some college football quarterback play, and I'm like, pass. I don't want to watch any of this play. You guys stink. You guys are good at quarterback? That can't be right because I'm watching bad play. Look, the playoffs are certainly a time when Kansas City goes to thrive, and we know that. But Xavier Worthy, he might be one of the, he might be one of the most fascinating players in the entire playoffs for me for the Chiefs because the swing difference between if he keeps giving you this level of performance and the level in which the offense played since Buffalo, or if he takes a half step back or a half step forward, he feels like a big swing guy in the offense. I feel like I know what to expect from Hopkins. I feel like I know what to expect from Travis Kelce, Kareem Hunt, Isaiah Pacheco, Mahomes. With Worthy, it's like he's given me a baseline now of what he's been doing, but because he's still a rookie and it's less proven and we've never seen him in the playoffs, and all those other things, it kind of changes. Sorry, there's just things falling off the wall.
Yeah, the audience probably had no clue what happened. Just randomly stuff just fell off the wall.
It was that photo of Kling with Patrick Mahomes.
Is that a good omen or a bad omen?
I don't know. Did we like name this studio after Kling when he semi-retired?
So. I don't
Is
think
this
we
the
did.
Josh Klingler studio?
He'll be on the call with Mitch Holtis, Dane and Hughes, and Dan Israel Saturday at 3:30 right here on 96.5 The Fan. No, you're talking about what to expect from Worthy in the playoffs. I was pulling it up as you were talking. I was like, all right, what was the exact stat line for Rice? In his first postseason, like, can we expect anything similar? So this was Rice last year, three playoff games, of course, Super Bowl included, 26 catches, 262, and a touchdown, and four games. Remember, they were wild cards, so they played four games. So it's going to be one less game, even if they get to the Super Bowl. But 26 for 262 and a touchdown, I don't think that is impossible for him. The yardage might be a tad bit higher because it's four games. So
that's five catches a game and 50 yards a game, roughly, which is...
Would it surprise you though if Worthy had more touchdowns though than one? I think Worthy's having if they get to the Super Bowl and he plays three games, I think Worthy could have three touchdowns during this postseason. Like I think he'll have more touchdowns than Rice did in the playoffs in four games last year. He'll have it in three.
He's gotten in the end zone more than Rashee Rice did in his rookie way. And there's a couple of different ways he can get in the end zone. They weren't handing the ball off to Rice. So I would agree, probably two or three if they play three games. But five catches for 50 yards is borderline almost exactly his average since Buffalo. But then you're asking him to maintain it in the playoffs. And you and I have discussed this before, and this is where I wouldn't make any preconceived notions, good or bad, about a player. That's why I would tell you it's an unknown. Some people know how to play in the playoffs, and you get their best play in it, regardless of position. This is not like a only quarterback, only wide receiver, only tight end. Historically, over time, some people are just better playoff performers than others, and some shrink up in that moment. Hell, for whatever reason, MVS is a better playoff performer than he ever was a regular season performer for Kansas City. Some people step up their game. I don't know whether Xavier Worthy's going to be that or not. I don't have an answer for that yet. I don't know what kind of playoff performer he'll be yet. My instinct is he'll be better.
Yeah, I do like his
He has Mahomes and his quickness and all the other stuff.
I do like his quick answer. Someone's like, hey, are you going to be nervous? He's like, no. Like, I'm not saying I expected him to be like, yeah, I'm going to be a nervous wreck. I know he wasn't going to say that.
But, so nervous, guys.
But I actually, in a way, I kind of like the fact that he was basically like, what are you talking about? No, I'm going to be fine. Like, I don't know. I'm not worried about being nervous. If he has a drop or something in the game, I don't think it's because he's necessarily nervous. I think we've seen enough now. The NFL is a long season. And you're right that there are certain players that step up even more. Can he elevate his game more? That's, to me, what I'm more curious about. I think
he can maintain his level of play.
I think I know what I'm going to get.
Some guys shrink, but
can
that's
he
less.
Find another gear? Does that exist in the playoffs?
Hope so.
Personally, I think that'll be where the vets come in. I think that's where D-Hop or Kelce or some of these other guys can take their game to another level.
Justin
we've seen
Watts
it happen.
At this point, just play better in the postseason. I mean, Jesus, he's been on the team for like 5 years.
Yeah, we've seen Kelce take it to another level. Now, DeAndre Hopkins has not played a whole lot in the postseason, so let's find out some more. He's played one or two playoff games, I think, in his career. You know, someone on the text line says, of course, Frank Clark.
Playoff
Frank, man. I miss Frank Clark still. Playoff Frank, fun personality.
I do too.
We'd love to get him on the show. We might have to have 20 seconds of delay to go, but I would love to have him on the show.
Can we get Frank Clark on next week?
I would love it.
Just to preview a little AFC title game. What's he doing?
Oh, it'd be great. I don't know.
He's got an agent, I'm sure.
It'd be great.
Drew, let's reach out to Frank Clark. Okay. Make a mental note.
It'd be great to get him on the show.
We did have to once cut the interview short because we ran out of dump button space.
Yeah.
So maybe a pre-record. I'm not going to say for sure. Maybe like
that
one we can bleep.
Sound like a good idea.
A bleeping interview might be worth it, but you know.
One that we just post on the
No, it's still playing on the show.
We just
post at it, you know, so we can cover a few.
It is interesting how like you hear from athletes like about if they're nervous or not. I know that the Super Bowl is different and we talked about like that pressure to three-peat, but like for Xavier, like he's played in big games. Like these are the biggest games of his career essentially, obviously, but going into it like for us watching it, we might be a little bit nervous in watching the team play, but it's almost one of those things where if you get your feet wet and you yes, it's the Super Bowl. Yes, it's, the playoffs. But you get a catch in the first drive. You're like, okay, this is just like any other Sunday. Like,
but you make a drop in the first drive. Sometimes it shakes you, and you're like,
sure, exactly. Yeah, the opposite could be the same where Sam Darnold freezes up and he can't make a throw.
Yeah. I mean, he froze up. Darnold's actually kind of a really good example. It's been a long time since I watch a quarterback look like his arm won't allow him to just get rid of the football. Like, at some point, you can't just take 9 sacks. You have to throw the football and take the risk.
There's a replay.
Take the risk of the interception. Take the risk of a contested catch. Like, you got to – sometimes you just have to throw it.
There's a replay. Troy Aikman said he's supposed to throw – it's Justin Jefferson on a screen. I don't know why he didn't throw it. They did a pan of it. He had the blockers. Justin Jefferson is just sitting there wide open. He looked to him and then turned to his right where there was nobody there and just ate it and took a sack, and it was very weird.
All right, coming up next, we're going to get back into all 32 and around the NFL. Kind of relates a little bit to what we were just discussing there with Sam Darnold. But also the latest on the rumblings out of Dallas and Deion Sanders potentially being a strong candidate for that head coaching job.